Welcome to the Seasoned Athlete Podcast, your home for stories, inspiration, and advice from athletes over 40. I'm your host, Robin Leggett. I'm a later in life athlete who became a roller derby skater in my 30s and a runner and obstacle racer in my 40s. Now, I'm an athletic aging coach who helps women over 40 experience the massive life benefits that come with exploring your athletic potential at any age and any fitness background. If that fires you up, keep listening. Let's do this. When you were writing your 2020 New Year's resolutions, did they include you running your first Spartan race or your first competitive Spartan race? If so, well, we all know how that went, right? 2020 may have been the year of postponing and setting aside big goals and milestones, but 2021, it's comeback time. And I want to help you hit the start line of your first Spartan race or your first competitive race, feeling strong, confident, and ready to go. Join me for Start Line Strong, a movement-based masterclass that will take you from feeling overwhelmed and underprepared to on fire to finally run that race. This is a one-of-a-kind combination of workout and workshop made just for women over 40. In this free event, I'll give you the tools you need to ditch the fear and feel ready to sign up and show up for your first Spartan race or your first competitive race, all while getting an amazing all-levels workout in the process. Start Line Strong takes place on Saturday, May 22nd at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and is free to attend. To snag your free spot, go to robinleggett.com/start. Amanda Thebe is a personal trainer, a nutrition coach, and a force of nature for women who are experiencing menopause hell and want to start feeling healthy and fit in their 40s and beyond. She's the author of the book, Menopocalypse: How I Learned to Thrive During Menopause and How You Can Too, an outspoken and honest guide to surviving and thriving during menopause. Amanda has both a hilarious but also no BS approach to busting myths around menopause and taking down those who seek to profit through spreading misinformation around the topic. By doing so, she's helping women everywhere understand, demystify, and live healthy, happy, and active lifestyles during this time that everyone who menstruates eventually experiences. If you are experiencing your own menopocalypse, sit back, relax, and enjoy this lively, fun, and oftentimes hilarious conversation with Amanda Thebe. Hi, Amanda. Are you ready to drop some seasoned athlete knowledge on our listeners today?
Yes, I am.
Yay. You are Amanda Thebe. I'm so excited to have you here today. You're a personal trainer with over 30 years of experience in the industry. You specialize in helping women in their 40s who are experiencing menopause hell get healthy and fit. And I know this is a hot, hot, hot topic for our audience here at Seasoned Athlete. You are the author of Menopocalypse. Did I say it right?
Oh my God, I'm giving you a virtual pat on the back as you say that, yes.
This is something, as I was putting this interview together, is something I was struggling over. Menopocalypse. The more I say it, the more I'm going to say it right. You're the author of Menopocalypse: How I Learned to Thrive During Menopause and How You Can Too. So for our listeners who are going through their own menopocalypse, Amanda is here to help. So I'm going to start off with by asking the question that I ask all my guests, and that is, what is your age at this moment in time?
I am 50. I just turned 50 in October. So I'm into my sixth decade now. And this is the one for me, I think. I always say that every big decade, this is my decade. Yeah, and
I'm coming into my prime now, everybody.
Well, I actually said that out loud for my 40, when I turned 40, and it just went like a shit show from downhill, literally. So it can't be any worse.
Right. And I'm sure that's part of what led you to write your book, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So, I was sort of a similar way. I had a meltdown at 30. That was my biggest crisis, was at 30 for some reason. And then at 40, I was much more accepting. But of course, I'm 46 now. So I'm sure I feel like I'm entering the menopocalypse. And, and that's the thing about menopause is you don't always know.
No.
If it's happening, you're like, I'm sitting crying in a puddle on the floor.
before? Is it because something made me upset, or is it because perimenopause? You know, they just, these things start happening. You don't know. So we're going to definitely get into that. But first, I want to go back in time a little bit. I'd love to get a little background on you as an athlete and how your own experience influenced where you are today. So what did your early athletic life look like? Did you play sports growing up?
So I am talking to you from Houston, but I'm not a Texan. I don't know if you'd noticed.
I thought I heard a drawl.
Y'all. I'm not a Texan, y'all. But I instead was brought up, I was born in the northeast of England. And so where I am from in the northeast of England is one of those like small towns with not a lot to do. And so essentially when I was a teenager growing up and I had a lot of energy, I was either going to get drunk or pregnant behind the back of the shops, or my mom was going to put me in a sport, you know, to get me off the streets, because we used to just hang about on the streets, right? And so I started martial arts and I started karate. I was actually 11 and I stopped doing that when I was 22, I think. So I got my dan grade in karate, and it was one of those activities that I just did. And I used to go on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and a Sunday morning. And I did it like flossing my teeth. It didn't require any thinking. I loved it. I was probably one of only two girls in a club of 50, 60 guys. And they were like all my big brothers. And I loved going. And I've never felt that type of issue with males in fitness, because I think I've always been around them and they've always been accepting of me anyway. And so when I ended up just moving away from that, just organically, you know, just, you just move away. And I went to work in a bank and then IBM, like that was my career.
Corporate life. Yeah.
Yeah. Corporate life. I was still super into fitness. So I did my, first of all, my aerobics teacher's instructor, then my step instructor, then my spin instructor, and actually was one of the first people in the UK to teach spin from the company Schwinn. We even toured all of Germany, like teaching it and stuff. So, but this was always as a hobby, you know? And so I did that, did my personal training certification in the UK at Loughborough University, when you had to do it as a diploma, like a 2-year diploma. Now I think you can get it in a weekend. I don't know. And
it depends on the certification, how fast.
Depends on the certification. Now. It's largely unregulated still. And I haven't even kept on top of continuing ed credits, because it's been so long since I've done it. I've just continually kept myself educated. Like most personal trainers in the industry, you know, I've like specialized in so many things, pre and postnatal rehabilitation, pelvic floor rehabilitation, senior fitness, all of them. I feel like I've got a really good handle on the human body and how it works, which is a really big surprise when I entered my 40s, which you said so far is so good. It was brilliant for me. I felt on top of my game, you know, healthy, and I felt like a good role model for the people that were following me. And then when I was about 42, I, you know, fell off the wagon, so to speak, and I didn't feel well, and I didn't recognize myself. And there was a big gap in my knowledge base as to know what was going on. I didn't know why I was feeling different. Mm-hmm. And then it was just really, and at the time, this is 8 years ago, there was no conversation about perimenopause. I'd never even heard the word before. It was like, what? What is that?
Right. And so, you know, here you are, like very knowledgeable on all these areas of fitness with massive experience. And then you found yourself stumped when it came to what was happening with your own body in your 40s. So, you know, from there, you know, obviously there, you've gotten to a point where it's like, this has become a major specialty for you. How did you get this information? How did you work through this, like, knowledge void?
Yeah. Like, and so how do I go from being like a zero to like now being like hopefully a resource for women to come to? That's like where I am. And like you said, I was in this void. The symptoms I was experiencing were life altering. They weren't just like inconvenient. I was getting really bad vertigo, losing feeling in my face, my arms. I was falling over. I was throwing up. It was, I was struggling with really bad depression. I didn't know that at the time. And So I then spent 2 years in the medical system in Canada, where I was living at the time, which has brilliant healthcare. And I had really good healthcare specialists, neurologists, ear, nose and throat doctors, etc. And they all were like, yeah, there's clearly something wrong with you, but none of the tests come back with anything conclusive. I went to my annual checkup at my gynecologist and he sort of said, are you okay? Is everything all right? And then I burst into tears and said, no, it's not.
We've already mentioned the puddle on the floor. Yes.
Yeah. The puddle on the floor. I did the puddle on the floor and he sort of like sat down, took a big breath and just said, listen, I see women like you 10 times a day. You're not alone. These symptoms are valid. You're actually struggling with migraines, with aura. They're a completely known symptom of perimenopause. You likely have depression because that's another symptom of perimenopause. And I can help you. These are valid. It was a big relief for me. And that's when I said, what the F is perimenopause? I'd never heard of it before. And he just said, you know, I can support you through this. And it was just a big, it was a relief. My husband was like, oh, good. So you're not going to leave me then. Cause like literally my relationships had completely changed with my friends, my husband, my children. You know, I didn't recognize myself. I was in this terrible place where I was like, is this now my personality? Am I the person that takes the kids to school, sits on the sofa, and just stares into a void until it's time to pick them up again because I don't have any joy in me anymore? And it was a really dark time for me. Anyway, so fast forward to where the book is now, I then just wrote a blog post just complaining about the lack of knowledge in the medical community and how lost and invisible I felt for those 2 years. And even then, how hard it was to find valid information because there's so much pseudoscience out there and misinformation. And then I started gathering experts around me, like medical doctors and psychologists and gynecologists and endocrinologists, anyone I could find. And I just got all of this information together and I just started writing and talking about it. And I think I was probably one of the first voices out there that women were saying, oh, I've heard Amanda talking about her struggles through perimenopause. And honestly, that's where it all started. And then I got this body of work and it ended up being a book because ultimately at the end of the day, I wrote a book, not because I want to buy some desert island in the Caribbean, because that ain't going to happen with the proceeds, but I wanted the book that I needed when I was 42.
Right.
I wanted to be able to pick up a book that wasn't heavy with medical text that confused me and made me feel lost, but that was relatable, that women could pick up and go, you know, I hear myself in Amanda's voice. And that's nearly always the comment that comes back every time. That's me. Yeah.
That's me, because, you know, every women at this phase of their lives, like I mentioned at the very beginning of our conversation, like we go through this stuff and we don't know what's happening and we don't have an answer for it. And it's like, if at least now, and thanks to in part to people like you, you know, we can say, is it perimenopause? Is this thing I'm going through perimenopause? But it's still like, maybe, maybe not, hard to say. And what you touched upon is that the symptomology is just so different for everybody, where some people might get hot flashes. Like we hear about hot flashes. That's very, very common. We don't hear about clinical depression. We don't hear about migraines with auras. Like we don't hear about vertigo. We don't hear about that stuff as much. So when women are going through something like that, they may not realize, as you went through, that it's like, this could be related to menopause. And you know, you were going to ear, nose and throat doctors who are not going to give you the answer you needed at that time. Right.
And it's like you said, like there's so many myths out there. And one of the myths, and I actually held on to it myself, was that, you know, and I think I used to say, oh, I can't wait for menopause because it's like, I won't have a period anymore. I don't want children anymore, any more children, I should say. And that's it. I might get a few hot flushes. And so, yes, I had no idea that these were genuine symptoms that many women struggle with. And what we do know is that estrogen is defined medically as estrogen deficiency. So we know that our high levels of estrogen in from our like 20s, 30s will decline to a very low threshold in a fluctuating manner that sort of resembles a roller coaster, right? They fluctuate up and down, and it's estrogen is produced in the ovaries mainly. It's also produced in some of the fat cells, but they're estrogen impacts almost every system in our body. We have estrogen receptors everywhere. They cross the blood-brain barrier. They're in our joints. They protect our heart, our stomach, everywhere. They're everywhere. So those that know about menopause in the medical community are very aware that, like, the fact that I had depression, cognitive impairment, anxiety, brain fog, all of those things women really struggle with, usually before anything else. And they'll go to their doctor and say, I don't feel myself. Things aren't right. I've got anxiety. I can't remember things. So they'll be given antidepressants as a first line treatment because that's the thing they're actually complaining about. Mm-hmm. And it also might be, and it probably is, a lack of knowledge from the medical community because they don't get any menopause management education at all in medical school, nothing.
Right.
There's a huge black hole in the medical community, and it's a disservice to women.
Yeah. And so, but thankfully, you know, you and others in your community are looking to change that, which is amazing and necessary right now.
And I think that it's like, has to be that way because I don't see that they, especially in the United States, there's going to be a lot of movement from the top down. I think the movement has to be grassroots up. And I always say that, yeah, like people like me, who've got a decent sized platform, are fairly vocal and are talking about it a lot, but Karen next door can go and speak to her friend Susan and have a chat, and it starts the ripple and it starts the conversation. And the first time you say menopause, you want to cringe and you hate it and it feels awful, but the second time it's easier, and then the third time you don't even think about it. And so when we normalize the conversation and when we share it with our friends, it does start that ripple. It snowballs. And I think every woman of this generation needs to do that, ready for the next generation coming.
Yeah. And it's promising that it's happening now. And that gives me hope for the next generation. But like you said, you know, you have this platform, you're very accessible, and you connect with people. I think, you know, the women that follow you, they see themselves in you. You have you lead with a sense of humor, which I think is really important because this doesn't have to be, you know, a dour, serious topic. You lead with a sense of humor. People connect with that. They share you with your friends. They have this conversation. And the fact that women are actually having this conversation is massively important. And that's how the change is going to happen, like you said.
Exactly. And I think humor isn't something I use to downplay anything. I think humor for me is definitely a way of relieving stress, of humanizing a topic. And it's never disparaging when I talk. It's always about, you know, like looking at the lighter side of things, because if I didn't talk like that, we'd never have the conversation because it's such a dry topic. And, you know, I want to give women hope. I want to give them like a laugh now and again. I'm pretty no nonsense and forthright, you know, and I have no problem calling out. I call it the woo factor. Because I get a little bit tired of that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like menopausal women are the new target.
Yes.
Without any doubt. Somebody just emailed me today and said, apparently these supplements are going to crack the code for menopause.
Who knew?
Who knew?
That's all I had to do. It was supplements all along.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because, you know, you talk about busting through the woo that's out there, and it's a lot of, you know, snake oil type stuff that's being marketed to women to miraculously solve this problem that we're having. I'm going to even put air quotes around it. It is a phase of our lives. But, you know, and I think as women, we are also trained and conditioned to look for the quick fix in everything. You know, as a fitness trainer and coach, I'm sure that's something you have dealt with over time as well, is like, to get the results you want, it's not about quick fixes. It's about the things you do every single day, right? And so this is happening with menopause as well. Can you talk a little bit about some of the, you know, myths or the snake oil type things that are being pushed to women, and what the truth of it is?
Well, I mean, this is purely my opinion, but here we go. And I have no problem.
Here we go. I want to set you loose on this.
Yeah. And I have no problem dying on this hill, because I do get really frustrated. So first of all, we know the supplement industry is non-regulated in the USA and in most countries as well. And so we don't know the efficacy or quality or bioavailability of the supplements we're taking. A lot of menopause targeted supplements contain herbs and tinctures that have been very poorly studied or not studied at all, usually in small trials. And so they're marketed as the solution to menopause. And so I have a problem with that because it's sort of not addressing the problem. So when you talk about menopause, we know it's a natural thing that's going to happen to most women. Some women, it happens in a more forced manner if they've had cancer treatment or surgical hysterectomies. You know, they literally get thrown into menopause in the deep end. And what happens is our estrogen and progesterone are going to decline and nothing is going to stop that happening. And that's my point. Doesn't matter how many supplements you take. It doesn't matter how many coaches call themselves hormone balancing coaches. You can't change the fact that your hormones are going to decline. You can't introduce estrogen in food to stop that happening. The message is so confusing for women. I have women saying to me, somebody said to me, I have to eat three cruciferous. I can't even say it.
Now you got me confused.
No, we're not going to cut this because we're going to get to it.
Okay.
Cauliflower and broccoli.
Yes, let's just say that.
That was a total menopause moment. Let's keep it real, ladies, right?
So that's right.
I can spell it. I can't say it. So if they eat three portions of, say, broccoli, cauliflower, anything in that family a day, it will detox excess estrogen from their system. If they eat more phytoestrogen, which we know is estrogen that's plant derived, right? Like say tofu, soybeans. If they eat more of those, they will balance out their estrogen. These are sort of terms that are super confusing for women. And I do have a nutritional training, so I am able to sort of like address them to a certain, I'm not a registered dietitian, but I can totally like talk to this. And I would say to women, first of all, balancing the hormones is something that you actually sort of can't do. Hormones are dynamic. If you were to say, take a blood test on the morning at 9 o'clock and then take one an hour later at 10 o'clock, they're going to be drastically different because of the nature of hormones dynamically fluctuating. We want them to do that. And so this misleading notion that they can, these hormone balancing coaches can either give them supplements or food to make this stop happening, or even to like ease the burden somewhat, is a little bit disingenuous. But there are some food things that we do know for a fact that are helpful, but it doesn't mean to say that you're not going to get hot flashes or you're not going to get depression. You know, you can, it's like blaming somebody for getting cancer if they've eaten well all their life and exercised. You just don't know.
It can still happen.
That's my point. There's a huge genetic component that needs to be acknowledged. And so, and I think the reason I harp on about this is because when women do all of the right things and still feel like crap, they put blame on themselves and they shame themselves. And these coaches and these supplements and all of these tinctures and powders, you name it, they're out there, make women feel less about themselves because they'll take them and they don't work. Yeah. So what's wrong with me? Why do I feel like this? And so what I say to women is, if like you're doing everything you can do outside of like lifestyle things and you still don't feel well, how about we start looking at the medical options, because there's valid medical options out there. If your quality of life is completely impacted by menopause, you do not need to suffer. You know, I always say like natural things that occur in our life are things like birth and death, and we don't need to suffer through any of those things, right? Menopause is a natural life occurrence, but we shouldn't have to suffer. And so I just want to say to women, like, look out for those red flags. If women are promising to do something, and especially when it's like a 21-day fixer for your hormones, or take these essential oils, rub them on your wrists every day. You know, that was something that somebody sent me yesterday, the essential oil natural remedy to menopause. What does that even mean? How? Right, why? Right. Yeah.
But it's like, it's these buzzwords that yes, women who are going through menopause are craving. It there's a reason why it works. And hearing that someone's a hormone balancing coach, it's like, well, that sounds official, you know, but it's deceptive.
And let's talk about that as well, Robin, because you and I both have probably the same type of training. So we're personal trainers, and we know we can specialize in certain parts of that. And on the other side, we may be nutritionists as well. We've maybe got a decent amount of nutritional training, and we know that needs change through different times of our life, say pregnancy and aging, etc. neither of those two types of qualification give us the permission to talk about balance and hormones. The only people that can do that are endocrinologists who actually go to medical school for 13 years and gynecologists to some degree because of the female sex hormones, right? So they're completely talking outside of their lane. And even when I wrote the book, like I write about what my experience is and what menopause is from the medical community and what the treatments are. But I wrote those with North American Menopause Society experts. One of them's Harvard educated. Like this is like verified by the medical community. I don't want to give medical advice to people because it's unethical.
Right.
And neither should these other coaches. So I always am just a bit like, put your spidey senses on, you know, and stop looking for the quick fixes, because we know now that in menopause, when we lose estrogen, it impacts so much of our life that we need to start ticking boxes all over the place. We need to be moving more, exercising, eating well, de-stressing, sleeping well, being nice to ourselves, all of those things, but all of those things consistently all the time for the rest of our life, you know?
Yeah. And the interesting thing about that is these are the things we should be doing all along. These are the things that we should be doing prior to menopause, that so many women, because we are raised to put ourselves last in a lot of situations in life, taking care of everybody else before ourselves, that we are not, that's not a habit for us to take care of ourselves, to get sleep, to prioritize sleep, to prioritize rest, to eat well. So for many women in menopause, it's like, they're just learning this. But the earlier you start, the better with these types of behaviors.
You know, that I love that, because one of the phenomena that they call it in menopause is like the we to me situation. Mm-hmm. And it's to do the oxytocin levels of that hormone declines with estrogen. And so that nurturing, loving hormone that we get when we breastfeed our babies and things like that, it declines somewhat. And they think there's a shift that happens because of that, that starts to make us actually prioritize ourselves. And I love the idea of menopausal women harnessing that. Yeah. And, you know, I don't think it's just, with menopause, I think it's with aging as well, and just circumstances as well. So, you know, a lot of midlife women have got family on either side of them. You know, we're in that squeeze generation. We've got career issues. We've got, you know, so many other pressures on us that all of a sudden, if we don't fill our own bucket full of goodness, that everything else goes to pot around us. And so this we to me phenomena is something that I personally struggled with, but have harnessed. I have no problem taking time out for myself, you know, doing some exercise, sitting outside in the garden, or just being by myself and just grounding myself. And it sort of trickles into the rest of the family, you know, and everyone else around me.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, on one hand, as I mentioned, like the earlier we can start going we to me, the better. But also, like everything else in life, it's never too late. It's never too late to prioritize yourself.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I want to talk about exercise in particular and in relation to menopause and, you know, things that you can do, interventions that you can make, because the overarching kind of theme of this book is non-medical interventions that you can take, right, to manage menopause and thrive during this time. Let's talk about exercise in particular, since that is a major theme of this podcast. What are some things that women can or should be doing to make the most of this time in their lives?
Yeah, yeah. And it's a really good question. And it's sort of our bread and butter as well. And then the first thing I sort of talk about exercise in the book is that, you know, it's still not going to stop menopause happening, right?
It's not going to balance your hormones, because that's not a thing. So let's just settle that now.
Although it may have an influence on cortisol and insulin, but we know that anyway. But you see, so this is always my, like, please be really clear, hormone balancing coaches, if you're going to call yourself that, what you're trying to talk about. So here's what we know, though. So we, as I said, estrogen influences so many different parts of our body. And what we do know is that something called muscle protein synthesis is impacted by decline in estrogen. And for those listening that don't quite know what that is, it's the ability to build lean muscle from the protein that we, you know, like the process of eating protein, strength training, and being able to maintain and build lean muscle. Sarcopenia, as we know, Robin, happens in our like 30s and a couple of percent every year, every decade, declines. I think it's about, they say between 3 and 8%. It changes on whatever study. But we know that muscle loss happens because of aging and being sedentary, accelerated somewhat through menopause. So all of a sudden, you need to start prioritizing preserving any muscle that you've got and maintaining it and trying to build more as you age, because you sort of want to protect yourself against injury. You want to be bulletproof as we age, right? But in addition to that, what we also know is that estrogen is one of the building blocks of bone health. Now, post-menopause, 1 in 2 women will break a bone. And of those women that break a bone, 40,000 women a year in the US will die as a complication of breaking their hip. Right. So we know that it's actually a large killer of women, more in fact than kill all women through breast cancer. It's a large proportion of the women. What we know through strength training is strength training creates the stimulus for bone growth, right? So already we've got muscle preservation, we've got bone health. We know it's good for our overall health markers, cardiovascular disease, diabetes. Our insulin sensitivity will improve with strength training. So we have all of these other things that are super, super helpful for us. On a neurological standpoint, it can help with brain health. Women are more open to being candidates for Alzheimer's. It can help with depression and anxiety. These are all studied. I'm so glad that strength training has had all these studies behind it. And then lastly, the last reason I love strength training for women so much is that there were 2 studies that came out last year, or maybe in the year before now, I can't remember, that showed that the vasomotor symptoms of menopause, which are any that deal with the thermoregulatory side, so hot flashes, night sweats, cold flashes, because cold flashes are a thing too, can be improved by up to 70% with strength training. So if someone's main symptom is hot flashes, I'm like, get to the gym, darling, and start lifting
some heavy weights.
Yeah. Lift some heavy weights, yeah. And so, and I think what happens is, and I'm sure you see this as well, but if a woman is in the midst of perimenopause, she likely doesn't recognize herself. I know I didn't, right? She probably has lost some self-esteem and some confidence, right? She most definitely has lost belief in her athletic ability. That's something we see as well. And so the idea of then doing something brave and stepping out of her comfort zone and starting strength training, if it's never been done before, might feel overwhelming for them. And so I've literally made it my mission to open the door and say anyone can start at any time. Even if you're low energy, there's things you can do that are going to improve your health, improve your energy levels. And the benefits, well, I don't know that there's any risks personally, because I just find that it's one of those things that only keeps on giving. And when women start strength training, their confidence and their self-esteem, boom.
Yep.
You can take on the world, right?
Yeah. When you can lift a heavy weight. And of course you start wherever you are. And that's the key thing, is like people see a barbell and they freak out if they've never lifted one before, but you start where you are. You don't start there necessarily, but you start where you are. And that's the amazing thing about human beings. And this continues as we age, is we have this unlimited capacity for growth.
Potential is there, right?
The potential is there. And so you just opening yourself up to it can bring massive rewards. And as you mentioned, you know, obviously your physical strength, and as you go through menopause and continuing to build your muscle at a time when normally muscle and bone health is declining, but your confidence, it's empowering. And that trickles out into all areas of your life. And imagine being in this time, you know, of menopause, where you actually feel the best about yourself, feel better about yourself than you ever have. Like, that is all possible. That's what gets me fired up.
It does. And so I sort of really put an emphasis on that in the book, because I want women to feel that, because you and I know what that feels like. And it's almost like a gift we want to give other women. And I always say, you know, that especially in the pandemic, we're all working out at home, right? And so everyone's a beginner at some stage. And in fact, being a beginner in strength training, it's probably a benefit, because you see the biggest growth so quickly. Because I'm like stuck. I've been doing this for years. Nothing's changing for me, you know, but I have had some hiccups. I had a hiccup with perimenopause that saw me have to pull back. And then I had a hiccup because I got COVID last year and I was a long hauler and I couldn't do anything. And so I felt like I was starting at the beginning. So I sort of get the fear and I get the frustration that comes with it. But I just think that if I could, and in my book, I have a 12-week program as well. And I think it's just one that I think anyone can do.
Yeah.
You know, at any level. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to talk about COVID for a second. This is an excellent segue.
I know.
You really set me up.
I've done this before. This ain't my first rodeo.
It's not your first rodeo. So you mentioned that you were a COVID long hauler and that you had to change up your fitness around that. Can you speak to that? What you had to do and how things changed for you?
Oh, it sucked. Right. So like, I am a rule follower. I'm not a naughty girl. I have no vices. I'm one of these people that just does things properly. And when the schools closed last March break, I was the one that was going to the supermarket and, you know, doing all the errands while my two boys, my husband stayed at home. And I think I got it from the local supermarket. Nobody was wearing masks at the time. And it potentially somebody coughed in my face or something. I don't know. But I got COVID. I didn't feel great. And at the time there was no testing. And so I had to go to the hospital. They confirmed it was COVID, but said I wasn't sick enough to stay, thankfully. Mm. And I went home to recover. And so I had a moderate dose, I would say. Like, it felt horrible, but not too bad. And then when I felt like I was turning a corner, as soon as I started to do anything, I just kept getting knocked back. And then that's when I started struggling with like chronic fatigue. I would sleep for days, shortness of breath, really bad headaches. And I had like hot flashes for the first time in my life, but I didn't think they were to do with perimenopause, more likely to do with the COVID, because when I've spoke to other long haulers, that's one of the symptoms they get too. And anyway, so it was nearly 4 months before I started to turn a corner.
Wow.
Essentially, it was probably like chronic, like what they call it, like post-viral syndrome, because other viruses that get into people's system can take months to get rid of, right? So my doctor was like, there's not a lot you can do. Your body's responding and fighting. You've just got to be kind to it. So what happened is I started to have to work within an energy envelope. And I love this term. And I found it from the National Health Service in the UK, who had an article on chronic fatigue. Because we know chronic fatigue syndrome is is a terrible thing that people struggle with. And in perimenopause, lots of women, estrogen completely impacts our energy levels. And so lots of women have chronic fatigue. And so the working within an energy envelope was essentially like, I'd go, okay, I'm going to go for a 20-minute walk today because that's what I feel like I can do. But then pulling back and saying, actually, you know, you're only going to do 10. Always working within it, never trying to push past the envelope, which for somebody like me was
that's gotta be hard.
Gotta be really hard. Yeah. But the thing is, anytime I did push through that envelope, I would get it sent reeling back for days. And it was so demoralizing. I would be in tears and I just thought, God, this is it now. Have I got like permanent damage? Is like, I went back to the perimenopause
right
mindset.
Is this my new life?
All of those things. Yeah. And then, you know, I got clearance from a pulmonologist that said there was no heart or lung damage and that I had some residual stuff happening, but that I could, you know, that I was going to be fine. And it sort of sparked something in me. And what happened is I live in Houston and in the summer it's 100% humidity and literally 100 degrees. And so I was going for walks and I couldn't breathe. So instead, the outdoor pool was open at my local club and it was always empty. So I just started doing breaststroke up and down because the cool water and the breathing really helped me. And as well, I was doing lots of breathing techniques as well, just to try and get my lungs to work again. And while I was there, I was like swimming up and down. And I thought to myself, I'm going to be 50 this year and I still can't swim. And by I can't swim, I mean, I'm not going to drown, but I can't do like you see the Olympians doing front crawl or freestyle up and down. And I was like, I always wanted to be able to do it. And my husband is a swam for Scotland. Like he's a brilliant swimmer. He tried to teach me. And he's like, you're just not teachable. And I'm like, I'm an athletic person. I should be able to swim. So I decided to teach myself. And so I went, I tried over a 6-week period. I just forgot about getting better with COVID and just used to go to the pool every day and just do a little bit more and a little bit more. And by the end of 6 weeks, I was doing 100 laps. And I can swim now. So I taught myself to swim. And it was literally one of the proudest things I've ever done because I was in the mindset of this is me, this is my new sickness. And then I overcame that. And then I also learned a new skill. And that's sort of the point of me telling the story. It isn't like just to pat myself on the back, even though I do like patting myself on the back about that.
Well, you deserve
it. It's the importance of learning a new skill as we get older. Like it was, I used to plan my workouts and I'd in the water and I'd have the different skills that I was going to, drills and stuff I was going to practice every time I went. And it was a real cerebral process for me as well. And we know how important that is for the brain health of menopausal women. And so like it gave me like a new lease of life. And it did still take a few months after that for me to feel normal again. And I'm completely recovered now and I'm starting to get really strong again. And I love that feeling. But I sort of want to sort of like hold on to that. Look, I did something new and so can you. And you're going to feel so good when you do a new skill, whether it's like learning to knit or painting or doing the crossword every day, like, or, you know, learning a language. These are really helpful skills that are going to, you know, improve your overall health and your brain health, right?
Yeah. And when you can tie it into something physical, and that's really like, that's the magic right there is when you can tie your fitness in with something that's mentally engaging. I know that's what moves me. That's what got me into fitness in the first place. I wasn't into fitness at all until I was able to tie it in with a sport where I was constantly mentally challenged at the same time as being physically challenged. And that kept me showing up for myself every single time. And that's still what drives me to this day. And so that's a really unique, you know, way to look at.
I like that. Yeah.
A way to look at something that you're doing for your physical health is that you are learning, which lights you up. It's engaging and it keeps you pushing forward. So yeah.
And that's why strength training can be one of those skills because it's very technical as in, I mean, the exercises can be very basic and simple, but you've got to pay attention to your body. You've got to make sure you've got enough tension and that you're supporting your core and your spine. And there's so many like little nuances that once you start, you can think, oh, how can I improve this? How can I make this harder? Where can I go from here? And so I think that like doing strength training is a great, like another segue to improve a woman's health from the neurological standpoint as well. And accountability can be one of the hardest things, though. That's the thing I hear from women is, I can't motivate myself. I've lost my mojo. And so that's when I like use different skills to get you into that. Make yourself accountable by buddying up with somebody. Do a group fitness class. Schedule it. Put it into your day. Make it like a priority, like it is other things in your life, right?
Yeah. I talk about scheduling in that way. It's like schedule it like you would schedule a meeting. You know, you wouldn't move a meeting off your schedule because you ran out of time. Like treat it just as important as it's just as important as any other obligation in your day or any other thing you have to do. And you'll find it's like, this is the thing you want to do. When you start prioritizing, then you'll start realizing it's like,
yeah, I'd rather strength train than go to that meeting. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll ditch my
and then, oh, during the meeting, you start squatting. I mean, I've planked the whole way through this podcast. No, I'm just joking.
I mean, yeah. the magic of Zoom. Very impressive.
Another thing that I think I found helpful and that I've shared with a lot of people is that I sort of started doing fitness snacking because I worked with my energy levels. And so I just was like, you know what? I don't have a lot to give today, but I'll do 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I maybe picked two exercises and did them back to back. And one might be a weighted exercise and one might be a body weight exercise. And I just tried to see what I could do within that 10 minutes because it all counts, right?
Yes.
And that repetition and even those small bits, I'm just like, count your wins. Make sure you find those little wins every day.
Yeah. And you know what? You do that 10 minutes, you're going to feel better than if you hadn't. Like you said, it all counts. And I think a lot of people, they have this assumption that a workout has to be a certain length. It does not. You can do little bits wherever you can, however it fits into your life. And you know what? You're going to feel better than if you hadn't done it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you told me, what do you have on the stove?
So I've made a curry. Just before this one, I'd actually gone swimming with my son, who was a really good swimmer. I'm trying to keep up with him. And then I put the curry on. I'm making chicken curry. And the Brits like their curries, and it's probably ready right now.
Yeah. So we will wrap it up so you can, I don't want you to burn your dinner. First of all, how can people learn more about you and snag that book? Menopocalypse.
You can find me at amandathebe.com. It's super simple. If you go there, it sends you to my YouTube channel, my Instagram, my Facebook, it's all there, and you can buy the book there too. So
yes. And you should buy the book there.
I hope you like it. I mean, it's doing really well. It's a bestseller in the menopause category, whatever that means, on Amazon.
You're like, how many books are in it? But that's okay. Doesn't matter.
But I think the reason I think it's doing well is because it's one of the few books out there that actually looks at the fitness and nutrition side of it as well. And I think that is really helpful as part of the conversation.
Yeah. And it's not dry. Like,
no,
you know, if there's any way you want to describe it,
it's a little bit naughty, actually.
A little bit naughty? Is that what you said?
A little bit naughty, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic.
So, a little bit like me.
You are connecting with women at the level that we want to connect on. So yeah, that makes me want to read it right there and then. Get the book, Menopocalypse. I'm just going to keep saying it so I can make sure I say it right. I always like to leave with, my final question is this. If you had one parting piece of wisdom to offer our listeners today, what would that be?
I would say to women, because if we're talking about perimenopause specifically, is that, you know, it's a really challenging experience for a lot of women. 80% of women report having life-altering symptoms. There's a light at the end of the tunnel when you go through menopause. And I want women to harness the power that menopause gives them, because even though it's hard, women can do hard things. We continually do hard things, and know that, like, it's almost a gift when you get to the other side, because you're so epically empowered after going through all of that shit. You can literally take on the world.
Yes. I love that. Yeah. So it is not something to be avoided. It is something to, you know,
embrace.
I know I was like reluctant to say the word, but like, yeah, just take it on. Just, like, you know, don't be afraid of it.
Take it on with knowledge. And then, because when you have knowledge, you get to make the choices.
Yeah. Knowledge is power right there. Mm-hmm. Yes. Amanda, thank you so much.
Thanks, Robin. I love that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us today. It's a topic that's epically important. And I'm just so grateful and happy that you've been here to really help empower women during this time in our lives. So thank you so much.
Same with you. You keep doing what you're doing too.
I will.
It's awesome. I'm telling you, women over 40, they're the women to be. Like, I just think, like, when I look now at the people who I admire, women over 40 are the ones. And so show up.
There's a movement happening, and I'm so happy to be a part of it, because it's important. And it's, you know, it's a traditionally overlooked demographic.
Not anymore. We're breaking a few ceilings.
A few ceilings, no longer forgotten. We've got you. So thank you again for doing your part in that.
Thank you.
If you've been wanting to run a Spartan race for like ever now, or level up to your first competitive race, I've got good news for you. Races are back on the calendar, and I want to help you make this goal happen. Join me on Saturday, May 22nd for Start Line Strong, a movement-based masterclass that will take you from feeling overwhelmed and underprepared to on fire to run your first Spartan race or your first competitive race. Part workout, part workshop, Start Line Strong will give you the tools you need to ditch the fear and feel ready to sign up and show up for your first Spartan race or your first competitive race, all while getting an amazing all-levels workout in the process. Start Line Strong takes place on Saturday, May 22nd at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and it's free to attend. Reserve your spot now at robinleggett.com/start.